Shalom.
Hello. We're going to read the article, What is the Blessing? Who Made a Miracle for Me in This Place? In the Work. You can ask questions at Kavda TV. Selected questions will be asked during the lesson. We are now reading articles as a preparation for Pesach festival. And this actually is the beginning of the correction, because everything starts from remembering the Exodus from Egypt, the giving of the Torah after you came out of Egypt. All the corrections of a person is only for the ones who came out of Egypt, because we who study creation from the sin of the tree of knowledge and the shattering of the soul, and afterwards the correction of the soul. So we learn it in a way that it's clear that first of all we should have recognition of evil. In what state we are after the sin of the tree of knowledge, when the soul has divided to many pieces, and that we have to collect them together. And collecting them together against the egoistic will to receive that dwells in the meantime. It controls the different pieces, makes us... So by that we also connect to that soul when we reconstruct it with the will to receive the evil inclination that has been revealed, meaning the force that was in this soul and caused each and every piece to be rejected from the other. When we connect them together, we work against this force of light that used to fill the soul, and now it's become evil. And by that we learn the qualities of the Creator, the quality of the corrected being. But it all starts from the recognition of evil. In what state we are now? What dwells between us now? What rejection, what hatred, what misunderstanding we have between us? How much each one is immersed inside himself. He can't come out of himself. That is the first stage of the study in order to reach this, the study of divinity, of godliness. Therefore, what I recommend is that whatever we learn, whatever we read, and especially about Pesach, but in general, just as we had with Purim not so long ago, we only learned about the coming closer or becoming further away. When you become further away, then evil forces appear, and that's a feeling of exile. So you can immediately start talking about the correction, the connection, and then redemption begins. Here it's the same too. You should see it all in the light of the redemption and exile, the being closer or further away, being corrupt or correcting. Go ahead.
Article, What is the Blessing? Who made me a miracle? Who made a miracle for me in this place, in the work? Our sages said, a person had a miracle and was saved from a lion. Rabba told him, whenever you come here, bless. Blessed is he who made a miracle for me in this place. We should understand what this means in the work. It is known that the purpose of creation was because his desire is to do good to his creations. For this purpose, he created in the creatures a desire and yearning to receive delight and pleasure. Otherwise, if there is no desire for the pleasure, a person cannot enjoy. As we see in nature, that if a person has no desire for something, he cannot enjoy it. For example, if a person is not hungry, he cannot enjoy eating, etc. Therefore, we see and say that the Creator created within our nature a desire to receive delight and bestow delight and pleasure. We should not ask why did the Creator create such a nature, since our sages said, if one asks about before the world was created, the writing tells us, since the day when God created man on the earth. This means that we cannot ask about anything about why, when he created the world, he created it specifically with this nature that we see. After all, he could have created with a different nature. We cannot ask about this, but we learn everything by way of, by your actions we know you. That is, we begin to learn from the actions we see and not before. Also, we see another nature, that the branch wants to resemble its root. That is, as the equality of the root of the creatures, which is the Creator, is to bestow and not receive, likewise, when one must eat the bread of shame, he is ashamed. In the words of the Zohar, this is called the bread of shame. According to this nature, it follows that when a person receives from the Creator into one's vessels of reception, which contradict the quality of the Creator, who is the giver, he feels unpleasantness. Because of this, there was a correction called tzimtzum, restriction and concealment, where as long as the lower one has no equivalence of form called desire to bestow, a person is placed under concealment and hiding from the and hiding of the kedusha, holiness. We should not ask about this, why did the Creator create a nature of the shame, and why did he make the branch want to resemble its root? It's all for the above reason, that we cannot ask about prior to creation. The kli of the created beings is the desire to receive pleasure. Before the will to receive was created, we have nothing to speak of. We attribute this kli to the Creator, meaning that we need not work with this kli. But every person who is created, if he did not corrupt the kli, that kli is perfect. That is, wherever the will to receive sees that there is a place from which it's possible to derive pleasure, it immediately runs there.
Question. How many reasons do we have to make this restriction, to stop receiving? Let's count. As the opposite. Rav, is shame an egoistic reason or isn't it? I see it about myself. To a certain extent, I'm ashamed. Meaning, I'm giving something, and I'm saying no. It's shame, but actually, it's ego, right? Isn't it? So, what does this shame mean? When someone is told, you should be ashamed of yourself, what does that mean? He doesn't have enough ego? Come on, quickly, guys, come on, wake up a little bit.
And allow himself to not stay in the previous state.
Rav, what's the difference between Tzimtzum, Masach, and Dor Chozer, the restriction, the screen, and the reflected light? What's the difference between these three actions? The restriction, the screen, and the reflected light. In what way am I connected to the host? Maybe you can check accordingly. What happens in the restriction? What happens in the screen? What happens in the reflected light? What forms of communication are there between me and the host, the landlord?
However, the kli, which is called the will to bestow, is that this kli of the created beings is when of the will to bestow is when a person wants equivalence of form, and this is like Bala Sulam has said about the verse which God has created to do. Has created refers to the kli called the will to receive, and to do pertains to the creatures who must make the kli called desire to bestow. This is not from the nature that the Creator created. Rather, He began creation from the will to receive, and you, the created beings, must make the desire to bestow. Therefore, when a person must begin to work in order to bestow, it is a different nature than the one with which man was created. For this reason, all that one should do in the work of the Creator is to make the kli, which is the opposite action to the kli with which man was created. When one begins to come into the work of bestowal, he still does not feel how much his will to receive interrupts his work of bestowal. This is a correction, so that man will not see the truth about the measure of evil within him, since when he sees the evil within him, he will certainly run from the work and will not even want to begin this work. This is why Maimonides says that we must first accustom a person in Lolishma until they gain knowledge and acquire much wisdom, and then they are shown the matter of Lishma, called in order to bestow. We should know that a person being governed by the will to receive for oneself is called exile in Egypt. Since when we begin this work, we are gradually shown from above the measure of governance of evil on us, as it is written, "And the children of Israel sighed from the work." That is, they saw that they could not perform the work of bestowal that they started to do, since the Egyptians controlled them. At that time, they saw that they could not emerge from the exile in Egypt.
How did they find this, discover this, that the Egyptians control them? Please, how did the children of Israel practically discover that the Egyptians control them?
That the Egyptians rule.
Rav, meaning this goes in the same direction of the children of Jacob. They didn't want to connect, and now, as much as they do want to connect, they discover that they don't want and they can't. What's the difference between wanting and being able, being capable? Come on, workshop question. Quickly, guys. What's the difference between discovering that you don't want or discovering that you can't?
That they try.
Rav, in the question, in the subtitles, yeah, you just have to add that it's regarding the connection. Not wanting and not capable of connecting. So they didn't write it properly.
We continue. The Egyptians controlled them. At that time, they saw that they could not emerge from the exile in Egypt, but the Creator can deliver them. This is called a miracle, for anything that one cannot do by himself, but by help from above, is called a miracle. This is the miracle of the Exodus from Egypt.
To what state must I reach in order for it to be clear to me that only the upper force, the Creator, may bring me out of exile? and to give me, what should he do with me for me to feel that I'm coming out of exile? Please. To what state must I reach in order to want to get help? And what does this help do to me?
Out of the ego, and the ego is suffering all the 10 plagues. We should know that when a person wants to achieve dvikut with the Creator, he has ascents and descents. The order is that during the descent, when a person comes into a state of despair, he sometimes comes to a state of wondering about all the labor he has done in vain. This is called pondering the beginning, when he wants to escape from the work of the Creator altogether. But suddenly, he receives an awakening from above and receives vitality and passion for the work, and completely forgets that he ever had a descent. Rather, he is content with the ascent. At that time, a person cannot enjoy the ascent more than when he was placed under the governance of evil during the descent. We should know that the exile he feels, that he's in exile, is measured not by the exile, but by the sensation of bad and suffering that he suffers because he is in exile. Then, when he is tormented because he's under the rule of oppressors and he must do all that they demand of him, and he has no right to do what he wants, but he must serve and carry out all that the nations of the world in his body demand, and he is powerless to betray them, to the extent of the pain he feels and his desire to escape them, to that extent he can enjoy the redemption.
This means that all the desires in him, the qualities in him, are all against the connection, and then he feels that he's really under the control of his ego, control of his pharaoh, and he's incapable of overcoming that.
He is powerless to betray them, and to the extent of the pain he feels and his desire to escape them, to that extent he can enjoy the redemption. As we see, it is written about a Hebrew slave. If you buy a Hebrew slave, he shall serve for 6 years, and on the 7th he shall go free for free. Certainly the slave should be happy that he has been liberated and is in his own right, and that he has no master over him. Yet we see what the Torah says. And if the slave says, I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go free. We see that it is possible that a person will want to remain a slave. And yet, it is written, remember that you were a slave in Egypt. This means that being a slave is a bad thing. Yet, sometimes a person wants to remain a slave. Thus, what does it mean that it is written, remember that you were a slave in Egypt? And who says that being a slave is so bad? After all, there are people who want to be slaves. As was said, that the slave said, I love my master. The thing is that exile is according to the level of suffering and pain that one feels in the exile. To that extent, it is possible to be happy about the redemption. This is like light and kli, meaning that the suffering we suffer from something is the kli that can receive light if it liberates itself from the suffering. For this reason, in the exile in Egypt, where it's written, remember that you were a slave in Egypt, it means that being a slave is so bad because there in Egypt, the people of Israel suffered. This is why the writing says, remember, meaning that we must remember the suffering we suffered there, and then it is possible to be happy about the redemption from Egypt. There in Egypt, the writing says, I also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, because the Egyptians are enslaving them. And I remembered my covenant. It follows that in Egypt, when they were slaves, it is written, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, because they suffered. He also says, and the children of Israel sighed from the work. Therefore, we were given the commandment to remember Egypt, as it is written, so that you remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. It follows that according to the rule, there is no light without a kli, no filling without a lack, although we have already come out of Egypt. We should rejoice at the redemption from Egypt. For this reason, we must remember that the exile in Egypt, meaning remember and imagine how the people of Israel suffered in the exile in Egypt. Then we can enjoy the redemption from Egypt even today. Otherwise, we cannot rejoice over the redemption from Egypt because the suffering are called the kelim, the vessels to receive the joy.
Meaning when avyut, coarseness, becomes purity. As bad as it was, accordingly you feel the good today.
This is why we see about the Hebrew slave that he did not want to go free. We could ask, how can someone not want to go free? The answer is that because he did not suffer while being a slave, he does not want to go free, as is explained when he says, I love my master, my wife, and my children. I will not go free. But concerning the exile in Egypt, it is written, so that you remember the day when you came out of the land of Egypt. Since there they suffered, and the children of Israel sighed from the work. Accordingly, we can understand that what we asked. What does it mean in the work, when a person should bless in the place where a miracle was done to him? The thing is that when a person begins the work of bestowal, he comes to states of ascent and descent. An ascent is that after a person has been under the governance of the will to receive, enslaved to fulfill all its wishes, and he wanted to overcome it and not obey it, but the will to receive was stronger than him. That person suffered from being removed from the Creator. Afterward, he received an awakening from above and began once more to feel some elation of Kedusha. At that time, the person wants to annul before him, like a candle before a torch. And then a person enjoys the state of ascent. However, one cannot elicit from the ascent progress in the work because he does not appreciate the nearing he has now received from the Creator, since he does not have the kelim, the vessels. In other words, during the ascent, he forgets that he once had a descent. Thus, although he feels that now he is close to the Creator, and he appreciates it, he soon forgets. Naturally, he no longer has a kli, meaning a lack, so he can appreciate, as it is written, as the advantage of the light from within the darkness. For this reason, he makes no progress, as he should be making through the ascent. Hence, during an ascent, he must remember and say, in this place where I now have an ascent, I had a descent, and the Creator saved me and raised me from the netherworld, and I emerged from death, called removal from the Creator. And I've been rewarded with some measure of nearing to the Creator, which is called some measure of dvekut with the life of lives. For this reason, a person should be thankful, for by this he has now come to a state where he suffered. And now he is in a mood of delight and pleasure because the Creator, bringing him closer, has given him new kalim of a lack that he can fill with the state of ascent that he is in now. It follows that he extends a light of joy in new kalim that he has obtained now by looking at the miracle that he has had. Where the Creator saved him. Therefore, when he considers the suffering, it is as though now he is the recipient of the suffering, and now he fills them up with pleasure. It follows that depicting to himself the state of descent causes him that the ascent he has received will now spread in the new kelim. According to the rule, there is no light without a kli. Hence, during the ascent, when he begins to contemplate the state of descent that he had, the suffering of the descent is regarded as kelim in which the light of the ascent may spread. This is similar to what was said above concerning exile and redemption. That according to the suffering he feels during the exile, so he can enjoy the redemption. That is, the exile is the kelim of redemption. This means that the redemption cannot fill more than the kelim it has from the exile. This is why in the work, when a person depicts to himself the state of descent, this is considered what our sages said, that a person should make a blessing. Blessed is he who made a miracle for me in this place.
Questions?
Nessie.
It's written that therefore during the ascent he begins to think about the descent he had, and the suffering of the descent is considered kelim from which the light of ascent can come. So the question is it not like being a pillar of salt looking backwards?
He doesn't look at it in order to cling to the past, rather to understand the present and future out of it. More? Someone out back, yes?
Rav, we know we were slaves in Egypt, meaning we did all we did, not from will.
What do you mean, not from will? What you're asking is, what does it mean to be in exile, when being in exile, that I must do things that I don't want to do? That's the way I feel, as if an alien force controls me, and I live and I do things because it forces me to do them. Meaning to the extent that I feel the inner resistance to the place I'm in.
Right, and now we have two discernments. On the one hand, we are servants of the Creator. On the other hand, we are workers of the Creator. Is there any difference between these two terms? How can we be servants of the Creator?
Servants or slaves, yeah. And on the other hand? Not slaves, but working for. Okay, so what's your question?
I'm asking about the difference between these terms. When you work for someone, you work willingly. When you serve someone, you do it unwillingly.
No, I wouldn't say so. It depends. Do you willingly go into it or unwillingly to this state of being a slave? I want to be a slave. And then I go into this state. And I cling. I'm attached. And each and every moment I have to as if I sign for it. Each and every moment I'm willing to do it every moment. So what's wrong with that? This degree of being a slave, it's depending on the landlord, depending on the creator. This may be a very high degree. If all the time I agree that it depends on me, I have free choice, and it depends on me in what way I relate to my work of giving contentment to the creator, then I want to be devoted to it in such a way that every moment I am choosing this.
Right, so the concept I'm in is that I'm the servant of the Creator, or that I work for the Creator, like cooperating.
When you sign for it, you're called. It's as if you're working for it. When you're signing for the what's gonna be, then you're called a servant. Well, we'll talk about it in the future. Yes, Gilad.
Why, when a person is in an ascent and he takes the previous vessels of the suffering, it's called new vessels? Well, what's the new vessels?
Actually, there are no new vessels. That's clear to us. The will to receive, the Creator created. And it all depends on a person's awareness, how much a person is aware of them and recognizes and connects them. Because if in the descent he attains to a certain extent that he's in exile, accordingly he can use the depth of these vessels to be in redemption in the ascent. It all depends on the awareness. It's like a baby in this world. What does he know about this world compared to a grown-up? That's it. It all depends on the revelation, the awareness, the recognition. Therefore, the awareness we have when in exile helps us to attain the redemption. It's the same vessels, only it's the opposite. It's not only the opposite. We open them up. They're opened by our exertion 620 times more. We're going to talk about it, that if I could feel the exile just as I would feel the redemption, I would never be able to come out of it. Rather, specifically by exerting in the society, trying to draw the light that reforms, as a result, I have 620 times more in the ascent compared to the descent. That's why we don't feel the descents to such an extent, minus infinity, ensof, just like we do with the plus infinity. No. Here, there's the matter of the Creator making it in a way that we feel the ascent 620 times more than we feel the descents. That's the meaning of the shattering. The shattering means that we cannot connect, but what we discover in the descent, we discover that we can't connect. And each one feels this state in his personal ego. Whereas in the ascent, when we connect, we discover it in our common will to receive, that where all the exertions connect and all the desires connect, and the prayers, then the intensity is 620 times bigger. Meaning you can't compare the descents with the ascents, even though the descents are so uncomfortable and unpleasant and deep. Actually, you can't compare it to the ascent, because the ascent is 620 times more.
So what does it mean to take the vessels of the descent and to fill them up with the ascent now? It's increasing the yearning, or what?
You have no other vessels but upon them. As I said, you exert, and you pray, and you connect, and all the hitkalelut, the integration of each one with the other nine friends, and then you have an intensity of an ascent. Well, what's not clear here?
So we can say a person receives an opportunity to enjoy the ascent, and he says, no, I want to build more yearning for connection and not something else.
No.
What's the calculation in the ascent? That
a calculation in the ascent is that I want to be a loyal servant. That means that I join the Malchut to Bina. By that, that's why I asked, what's the difference between restriction, the screen, and the reflected light? Tzimtzum, Asach, and O Chozer. The restriction is only done in Malchut. And you can say it's egoistic. It's because of shame, to avoid the feeling of separation. It's a terrible feeling, but it's still there to avoid a bad feeling. We can phrase it this way. There are many things into it, but now, what about the masach, the screen? A screen is when I already want to work above my will to receive. I detach from it. I avoid it and I rise above it. And the reflected light is when I take the desire of someone else, of the landlord, and I work with it. Meaning these actions are every time in a different level of the will to receive. Yes?
So how does it have to do with the new vessels?
A new vessel is a vessel I get from the landlord, as much as he would enjoy bestowing unto me. And then I really discover in him, inside him, this vessel, and I let him bestow to me. I keep receiving from him only with the awareness that I'm doing it in order to give pleasure to him. Like as if a baby knows what he does to his mother. He opens his mouth with devotion. Yes?
And then what was considered as suffering from the new perspective is no longer suffering?
When previously, when he received it all from the Creator, no. Suffering means that he wanted to reach bestowal, but he can't. It's not on the account of the Creator. It's always on the account of the Creator being. The Creator is always pure. Or he is pure from the perspective of the Creator.
He says the state of ascent needs to take the previous state of the suffering and connect them, and that's called a new kli.
I don't think we need to do that because we don't know how to work with the previous descent. No. All we need to do is think of the connection we can attain now without all these reshimot and everything that happened. Connection as much as we can between us. That's what we should do now. Later we can talk about more internal actions. Okay? Yes.
Starting from Denis Sandler from Moscow is asking, how can we implement the advice of Rambam to get ourselves used to working in lo lishma, to get used to working in lishma?
That's how we advance. We have no choice. We do the actions as much as we can in the states we're in. There's nothing else. Maimonides doesn't recommend. Kabbalists don't invent anything new. They only say that according to the laws of nature, that's what you can do. That's it. Can we perform actions in order to bestow? No. Can we perform actions in order to receive? Yes. But do we want to perform actions in order to bestow? Yes. So, wherever you are, in the place you are, do actions as if you're in order to bestow. From lo lishma, you come to lishma.
Itai from Romania is asking, how can the will to receive hold on to the discernment that is a slave and yet be happy about it, like with the example of a Hebrew slave?
That's the way it is. When I'm devoted to the Creator and I work blindfoldly. And that's okay. Now the question is that before you criticized it, you checked it? If it's before you checked it, it's still a slave. But if it's after you discerned it, you're a slave, but you're working.
Yair Ganat is asking if the sense are necessary component in the vessels, how to use it effectively, and how is the transition from this reception to bestowal?
Only by arvut. During a true descent, a person is incapable of doing anything. Only by the arvut. And we have to understand that if someone falls, it's just as an opportunity for others to acquire more vessels and not to fall. If we could do that, then we would always be in an ascent. In general, the group itself would always be in an ascent. If it could use each one's descent in order to acquire, aside from the chisaron, the deficiency, acquire the yearning from it.
Sergei from Dnepr is asking, we discover our common shame, or everyone discovers his own shame?
Later it becomes a common thing. The shame is the vessel. All right.
Amnon. לא תמיד עבדות היא סבל. כמו שאנחנו...
Rav, the servitude is not always suffering.
Right.
As it says, I loved my master, etc.
Yes.
So how do we distinguish between wanting to be a servant and being forced to be a servant?
Well, I'm going to tell you only one thing. Everything it says in the Torah is regarding the correction of Adam Rishon. The correcting him is only by the connection of all the parts. That's why the first thing a person should do is establish the right way of work, the form of work, to connect all the souls to one soul. Or in the ten, I'm doing this. This is what I have to do. Therefore, only regarding these discernments, connection and disconnection, you can talk about exile, redemption, and everything. The final correction is when you connect them all to one.
Then what's the servitude here?
Servitude is when you're in your own will to receive, the egoistic will to receive, and you're incapable of performing one action of connection.
So only by the ten it will be possible to...
Only in the ten. You won't find one word in the Torah that's not pertaining to the ten.
So same question, what is to be servant willingly? Why does it say... I loved my master, my children, and my sons.
Yes.
If it's only within the ten, where does it come from that I say that thing?
That's a meaning of the a servant of the Lord. I'm willing to do this work without any choice. First, forcefully, coercively, and then with my desire. That's the way it is.
Queens.
Hello.
Lo shomim?
You can't hear? Oh, it's stuck over there. You're frozen. Queens, Brooklyn.
Oh,
okay, now we see. Yes. Yes, we hear you.
Lo shomim?
We hear you. Yes.
Слышно меня?
Yes.
Okay, у нас вопрос.
We have a question.
Сейчас. Почему у нас не получается по-настоящему вскричать Творцу? Мы постоянно добавляем в работе...
Why can't we really... cry to the Creator and come to the despair from the work?
Well, the goal is not to reach despair. The goal is only to reach connection all the time, only connection, and that's on the path. When you stumble upon the despair, the Creator did it on purpose for us to want to get His help. And then we, being despaired of our work after all the efforts, when we're despaired this way, we cry out to Him, and then He redeems us, He brings us out. But in the meantime, we're constantly, along with Him, along with asking for the help, we're constantly drawn to the connection. And ultimately, we discover that we're incapable. Even though each and every step of the way we need to get help from the Creator, but there's a special state that comes, that you reach a special state, that His help has to be not by connect more or connect in this way or that way, rather His help. It reaches a state that His help is when we discover darkness, when He has to invert our vessels to receive the screen, the first reception of the screen, turning the vessels of reception to vessels of bestowal. And then we have this inversion. But in the meantime, we're always attracted, God forbid, not to disconnection, or we always want to come out of Egypt. We want to come out of this force of separation. And certainly, it's with the help of the Creator. Always pray and ask for support. Then, only after these proper states we're having in order to rise above the separation, to reach connection, then we discover on this way the whole process of Egypt, and let's start discovering in what way it advances. It includes inside many actions. How should I say it? Surprise actions, like surprising actions. Surprising. Yes.
The more we discover that we are ruled by Egyptians, the hatred to the Creator increases. How do you find a place to cry out to Him?
Only by the correct efforts to locate time and again what we should do in the group, in the connection. Sometimes hatred appears. Not hatred appears, misunderstanding or nerves you have for each other. The ego is the opposite, and it's in purpose, and you have to discover it all. Yes.
You mentioned that the actions we do are first by coercion and later by will.
Yes.
The question is, what makes this transition from coercion to willingly?
A light that reforms. When I start getting the recognition that this is the path, this is what I should do, this is in the foundation of creation, then I start being the partner. That's the way it is. Only through work. Again, all these things fall into place bit by bit. It takes time, months, and even years until it all falls into place inside a person. But if you start it, you can be sure that in your life you will reach what, all in all, it's written in the book.